presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today and every Sunday at this time, Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame, which honors outstanding personalities of the entertainment world made famous by your recognition of their achievements. Presiding is the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, with the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus, and our lovely singing star, Martha Tilton. To take up his happy Sunday chore, here is your genial host, Paul Whiteman.
Thank you, Glenn Riggs, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In all of radio's bright history, no name shines with greater luster than that of our star today. As commentator, singer, forceful personality, and discoverer of stars, she has no equal on the air. And because of these great achievements, the Radio Hall of Fame is deeply honored to present the First Lady of Radio, Kate Smith.
And kiss me twice, kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. I haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seemed without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Ladies and gentlemen of our audience, today's the day. Today, Philco Corporation, world's largest manufacturer of radio, announces the great new radio developments from the Philco Laboratories. Every model a triumph of electronic research, 10 years ahead of 4 years ago. Now, first and top of the Philco line, Philco presents the greatest radio phonographs the radio industry has ever known, custom-built by Philco, featuring a new dynamic reproducer, giving professional studio reproduction of records in your home, a new record changer, exclusive new FM, high fidelity, greater power, beautiful period cabinet. Philco presents Advanced FM, a fundamentally new FM circuit developed by Philco that actually ignores noise, revolutionizes all former ideas of FM reception. Philco presents the sensational new Philco radio phonograph with automatic record player. Just put a record in the slot and it plays. Makes manual operation obsolete. Philco presents a great new line of radio consoles, table models, including FM and radio phonograph, and the most powerful, greatest performing portable radio ever built. Yes, with these sensational new developments, Philco returns to its unbroken record of radio leadership, 10 years ahead of 4 years ago. See your Philco dealer now. From now on, he can give you the full story of what's new in radio from Philco the Leader, famous for quality the world over.
Gosh, what a voice.
Oh, thank you, Martha.
Glenn, she means Kate Smith.
As Jimmy Durante says, everybody wants to get into the act.
And speaking of funny men, Kate, you've been the Columbus of the killer cycles and discovering some top-notch radio comics.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, but I guess I was just lucky having people on the show like Ezra Stone and the Aldridge family and Olin Landick, the Hackensack Gossip, Henny Youngman, and Abbott and Costello.
By the way, did you ever find out who's on first?
No, who's on second?
Why?
What's on first?
Why?
No, he's on third.
Then who's on short?
No, who's on second? He's there, you see? That's what the Abbott and Costello influence does to you, Paul.
And I'll bet every time you heard someone call, Henry!
Yep, I yelled, coming, Mother!
And I'll bet you really had a problem with Henny Youngman.
Well, not really, except that when Ted would ask me why I was late for my rehearsal, I'd invariably say, oh, it's a funny thing. You know, something happened to me on the way to the studio. Then I'd go into one of Mr. Youngman's jokes like, gee, it's great to be here. Got up at 6:05, had a quick shower, took a brisk walk to the room clerk. He said he didn't have a thing. At 6:10, I was back in the lobby, fast asleep.
Ah, that Henny's got a lot of those.
Say, Paul, you mentioned me being the Columbus of the comics. You know, you did write well by a lot of vocalists.
Referring, of course, to the Groaner, known locally as Mrs. Crosby's boy, Harry Lillis.
Harry Lillis Crosby. Isn't he the mayor of Boys Town?
No, Martha. Seriously, Paul, let's not be forgetting names like Mildred Bailey in the old rocking chair, our good friend Ramona, a chap by the name of Morton Downey, and the Mets' own Helen Jepson. Yes, Paul, you have an imposing list.
Gosh, what'd I give to be on that list?
What do you mean, Martha? Well, you're called the G.I. favorite from Salerno to Saipan.
I know, but I'd like a civilian to call me occasionally.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. You take the next song coming up, and I'll wager that your phone will be ringing from now on.
Oh, no. They can disconnect my phone, because I'm not singing a note.
Uh-oh. Sounds like insubordination.
Paul, it isn't every day we have Kate Smith on the show. And when she's here, all I want to do is listen.
Well, that's mighty sweet of you to say that, Martha.
Kate, you heard what Martha said, and there's a tune coming up.
Well, that has a faint odor of conspiracy, but it's two against one. So, Mr. Whiteman, if you will, give the boys a downbeat, please.
That's only great, Kate.
Thank you, Paul, but anybody can sing with Paul Whiteman's orchestra.
That's funny, I can't.
By the way, Kate, have you finished your Christmas shopping yet?
Yes, I have, Martha. I've
Kate,
finished it.
If you could give General Eisenhower a gift, what would it be?
Well, I'd give him a future as great as his past, Paul.
Miss Smith, if I were giving gifts to greats, I'd give you the biggest gift for all the first you've brought to the public. More especially for the Christmas stories you do this season of the year.
Thank you very much, Paul. And now, I'd like to add another first, if you don't mind. It's a delightful story by Roger Duvoisin that I think will become a Christmas classic. It's called The Christmas Whale. What a blustering, freezing, nipping wind blew at the North Pole that year. Snowdrifts piled so high around Santa's igloo that the red chimney sticking out looked very much like a red cherry on the top of a cream pie. Poor Santa had to dig a tunnel to come out of the house.
The snow just won't stop falling. It's worse than the blizzard of 88.
Small wonder that in such weather, Blitzen, the reindeer, suddenly felt a chill run down his back and had to be put to bed with aspirin, hot tea, and a hot water bottle. Small wonder that Vixen, right in the middle of a game of solitaire, and then Comet as he was practicing on the flute, and then all of Santa's reindeer, one after the other, felt the chill run down their backs and had to be put to bed with aspirin, hot tea, and water bottles. Yes, it was a flu epidemic.
Drat the snow and the wind and the cold and the flu. They would do that to my reindeer just before Christmas.
And Santa sat down at his desk to telephone to his doctor.
Hello. Hello, Doc. Get your dog sleigh ready and come over right away. It's urgent.
When the doc came in, Santa trotted behind him from one bed to the other, looking very worried. The doctor took each and every reindeer's temperature.
Is it serious, Doc?
No, nothing very serious. 3 or 4 weeks in bed and everything will be all right.
All right? How can you say all right? Don't you realize Christmas is coming? What shall I do? Who will draw my sleigh? It's a catastrophe. That's what it is, a catastrophe.
Poor Santa paced the floor. He wrung his hands in despair. He brooded so much that Mrs. Santa called him 3 times for lunch.
Claus, eat your soup before it's cold. And don't despair. You still have time to find a way out of your troubles.
It's a catastrophe. By all the chimneys, by all the stockings, by all the Christmas trees in all the world, it's a catastrophic catastrophe.
While Santa thus lamented, all his friends, the North Pole animals, talked of nothing but the flu epidemic. Imagine the old gentleman missing the first Christmas in 500 years. Finally, the codfish called Santa.
Now listen to me, Santa. Stop walking and muttering for a moment, and your worries will swim away like frightened sardines. What you want is something fast enough and strong enough to carry your packages around the world. I have that thing for you. The whale.
The whale?
Yes, sir. Her back is as broad as an iceberg. She's as strong as the waves in a storm. She's as fast as the wind.
My little cod, I think that you are the cleverest fish in all the seas. I'm going to see the whale right now.
The whale was playing far away among the gray waves, and Santa whistled and tramped and shouted until almost dinner time before she noticed him. Then she came at once, splashing the icy water around her. She got Santa Claus all wet. But when she heard what he wanted, she was indeed kind and obliging. The very next day, Santa rubbed his hands with joy while the walruses, the seals, the white bears, and the gulls came to fetch the mountain of Christmas packages which stood in the big shed. One by one, the packages were carried away to the water's edge to be piled into a new mountain on the broad back of the kindly whale. So many boxes were brought that the kindly whale stood lower and lower in the water.
Watch her waterline. Don't let her sink below it. She's got to breathe, you know.
The codfish was so careful that he wouldn't even let Santa Claus load a last little box of building blocks. Then everything was safely tied down with Christmas ribbon, and Santa and the kindly whale departed for New York. A pilot climbed upon the head of the kindly whale to lead her into the harbor, where two little tugboats waited for them.
Ease her into the pier. Gently, boys. Big load aboard. Easy does it.
From New York, Santa and the kindly whale went to South America, to Africa, to Europe, and to Australia. And then, very weary, but very, very happy, they went back home to the North Pole, knowing that in spite of the flu epidemic, gift-giving would go on that Christmas just as it had for 500 years. Santa found whale traveling extremely convenient. If there were not so many pictures and stories about him and his reindeers, he would ask the kindly whale more often. After all, on Christmas cards, he'd look just as glorious riding a whale as he does driving a sleigh. Because whales are very decorative.
Thanks, Kate, for that wonderful Christmas present. But it's time to brush the tinsel out of her hair and kind of step into the now and then department.
My favorite department. And what is it today, Paul?
Well, I'll give you a little hint. It was one of the first songs you ever sang on the air, and I recorded it.
My, you do have quite a memory, don't you?
Yep, it was in the year 1931, and fellas were hep if they came up to a girl and said, I love my wife, but oh, you kid.
I remember the Model A Fords with the pom-poms that said, Chicken, here's your coop. Oh, yes, Paul. I'll never forget that year because it was the start of the Kate Smith-Ted Collins combination. But enough of this reminiscing. Will you please tell me the name of the tune? You're driving me crazy.
No, you're driving me crazy.
How can I? I don't have a driver's license. How can I drive you? Oh, here we go with that Abbott and Costello bit again.
Well, all right, Kate. Just as the Whiteman Band recorded it the year you made it popular. You're driving me crazy.
Oh, but you love it, Paul. With a few long hairs added.
You're driving me crazy.
Well, Glenn, how do you feel now that you can tell the folks about those great new Philco radios?
Oh, raring to go, Paul. Raring to go.
Yep, that's Philco all over. They're raring to go back in 1930. And they've been the leaders in radio ever since. And with all those new models I've seen, Philco is sure on the way again.
Which model do you like best, Paul?
Well, it's according to what you want, Glenn. Philco has a radio for everybody and at everybody's price. As for me, I want one of those great custom-built radio phonographs we played here in the Radio Hall of Fame a few weeks ago. I want to sit back in my easy chair and hear that Philco play a tune our band was playing back in 1930, the year Philco first took the lead in radio. You're always in my heart. Folks, you got a thrill coming when you hear your favorite records over the new Philco Dynamic Reproducer. In your home, it'll sound like we musicians listen to in a professional studio.
Paul, I like what you said about Philco having made a radio for everybody at everybody's price. Time is too short to do justice to all those great new Philco radios. Philco's revolutionary new advanced FM, the sensational automatic record player, the new table models, and that terrific new portable. But tomorrow, you can go to your Philco dealer and get the full story of the great new radio developments from the laboratories of Philco, the leader. And soon, your new Philco will be bringing you...
God bless America. As closely identified with Kate Smith as Bacon is with eggs, Barnum with Bailey, and Sears with Roebuck.
A number one song by a number one citizen, Irving Berlin Ball.
Kate, no greater honor could come to our Radio Hall of Fame than you singing God Bless America.
Thank you. Fight with war.
swing closed the great portals of our Philco Radio Hall of Fame, we express to you, Kate Smith, our thanks. Long America's favorite for your brilliant career in public service, for your shrewd commentaries, for the melting magic of your song, we were honored to honor you.
Thank you very much, Paul, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks.
Well, looks like we got a goodie coming up next week. Mrs. Cantor's favorite son, Ida's favorite husband, and your favorite comedian, Edgar Cantor, is going to be with us. Going to be around with us to chirp a couple of ditties will be Martha Tilton, and right behind her will be the orchestra and the choir, and swinging the old baton will be yours most sincerely, Paul Whiteman.
Don't miss Philco's other program, The Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil, Monday through Friday, over these same stations. This is the American Broadcasting Company.